The Italian wine.
Yep.
And our interview coming up is Tyson Stelzer, who's our resident wine expert. And he's back today and he's telling us about rather interesting medals. The ones stuck on that bottle that entice you to choose it over the next one. But are they all equal? What glittering gold should you seek out and what medallions are mere marketing? Graham talks to Tyson Stelzer.
Lucky Travel Writers Radio to have Tyson Stelzer available
with a bit of Billy in the background
as our resident wine guru. Hi, Tyson. How are you?
I'm great. I always look forward to it. It's a heart of the month to chat with you about wine, and I love the chance for people to tune in again on your website with the podcasts later on as well.
Yeah, it's incredible where they listen from. We've actually got every month we have this. We do a top 10. We get the stats from SoundCloud. Every month, Uzbekistan's in the top 10, and we can't work it out.
Seriously.
So I don't know whether they're wine drinkers or whether they love food or travel, but there you go. So we sent them a Cheerio, and we'll see what happens. Now, today, today I thought we might talk about what happens with bottles of wine that want to entice you to buy them. And my experience is that they shove lots of medals on there, and that usually gets me, but I'm wondering whether I'm a bit of a sucker for a bit of smart marketing, and in fact, I'm not buying wine that's worth fawning over. What do you think?
It's such a good question, and it's one I'm asked all the time, because we're all faced with this dilemma. You walk into a bottle shop, and you're confronted by wall after wall of labels which are meaningless to many people. How do you know how to pick a good wine? It's not like a library where you can flick through the book and get a feel for it before you buy. The wine, it's very difficult to judge from the label. Many people do buy from the labels, but then, of course, they look for independent endorsement to try to get something objective to point them to the best wine, and whether that's a review from a critic, which is great, and I should say that being one to write such reviews. But for many people, it's the medals on the bottle that give it some endorsement.
Yeah.
But then the confusion with that, of course, is whether or not those medals actually hold the kind of credibility that you would hope for them to have.
Yeah.
And as someone who's been judging wine shows and actually running my own wine show for more than a decade now, every wine show is different. And a little wine show in a small region in the back blocks of, you know, outer somewhere is a very, very different affair to a massive capital city wine show or even the national wine show itself.
Right.
So first point to those who are going by these beautiful little bronze, silver or gold or trophy stickers on a bottle is read the fine print. Not every show is created equal. And the tip that I give to people is, obviously, we can't all keep up with the ins and outs of every single show.
No.
But a very simple rule of thumb is the bigger the city in which that show is hosted, the more significant the show.
Right.
So if you are winning a trophy or a gold medal in the Melbourne Wine Show as opposed to the Timbuktu Wine Show, you're going to be at least having some indication of greater
quality,
credibility,
right,
from a bigger show in a bigger city. Then, of course, too, if a wine has won one bronze medals don't count for much, most people don't even print bronze medals on labels.
Yeah.
If it's won one bronze medal in a little show, forget it. If it's won one gold medal in a little show, you know, maybe it got lucky. But if that wine has won a trophy in the National Wine Show, in the Melbourne Wine Show, in the Sydney Wine Show, the Brisbane Wine Show, etc., if it's got that kind of multiple endorsement from big shows, that's a very strong sign. That's quite a serious wine and one that's worth your investment.
What about the varietals? What about, say, a Hunter wine show for the varieties that are best known up there, for example?
I'm really glad you asked that, because there's much discussion in the industry at the moment over whether even these big wine shows that taste everything from everywhere are all that valid. It's difficult as a judge to, you know, put hundreds of Shirazes on the table in the Sydney Wine Show, for instance, where I judged last year, and to judge them all when they're also diverse. But within the regions themselves, particularly those regions, and it's true for most Australian regions, the Barossa Wine Show, for example, is only open to Barossa wines. The Hunter Wine Show, you may only enter if the wine is actually grown in the Hunter. So the Semillon trophy, for example, in the Hunter Wine Show is very highly sought after by the Hunter winemakers, because if you win the Semillon trophy in the Hunter Wine Show, you've made the best Semillon in the Hunter that year. And so even though the Hunter might be small by my earlier consideration of city size,
yep,
you know, compared to Sydney, the results of that show are actually quite significant because
right,
it is unique to that region. So those regional shows in the good regions, you know, if it's won the best Chardonnay from Darwin, you might go, well, hey, not that significant. But if it's won the best Semillon in the Hunter, hello, and if it's won the best Shiraz in Barossa Wine Show, that's worth paying attention to.
Right. Now, are the is the wine in the bottle with the medals on it, is that the actual wine that was tested? Or are they sometimes talking about the organisation's had a win? You know, the wine maker has had a win, but maybe this isn't the actual winning wine.
Yep. This is a very strong consideration in Australian wine shows, and I was part of a committee that had a massive task force into the overhauling all of the recommendations and the regulations, if you like, for the way that wine shows work a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And there are lots of checks and balances in place for this. If a wine has a medal on it, it needs to be a medal that was won by that particular wine.
Yep.
And you might say, well, what's to stop a winemaker submitting one wine in a show and then selling another wine in the market, which has happened before and quite scandalous, of course.
Right.
And so wine shows have an audit system now whereby the wine show actually goes to bottle shops and randomly purchases the same wines, selectively, obviously, not every wine in the show, occasional wine, and tastes them. The judges taste the wine that's been submitted by the winemaker and the same wine that's been purchased down from the local store. And if there's a discrepancy between those two wines, significant enough to suspect that they're not the same wine, then there's a whole audit process that gets put into motion from there. So there's that check. The other one is that those of us who judge, we're not robots hidden away somewhere. We're real people who drink wine and taste wine all the time. And so if we see a wine come through in a show, usually the wines that are most likely to win the top medals tend to be wines that are well known to all of us. The great vineyards and the great makers make great wines. And it would be alarming if a wine came forward that was suddenly remarkable and exceptional. Well, we all know that wine full well. We've tasted it before. We've been sent review samples. We've bought it at a restaurant. It's difficult for someone to get an amazing result by trying to do something which is a little bit shifty.
Right. So are you blind taste? Obviously, the bottles you are given or that your sample's poured from are plain, aren't they? There's maybe just a number on them that relates to a catalogue hidden away somewhere.
Absolutely. Every Australian wine show, and we have one of the most rigorous and successful wine show systems anywhere in the world, every Australian wine show judge is blind. So these wines are poured into glasses by the stewards in another room, brought out to the judges. So all you get is a wine in a glass and a number on the page, and you write your notes accordingly. So there's no bias in terms of the way in which preconceived conceptions might come into the impression of a wine.
And the stewards can't be bought to put the right wine in the wrong position.
It has happened before. When I judged in Sydney last year, it got to the final trophy tasting at the end of the show to determine one of the top wines. And we were told that a wine in particular asked was a Semillon. And I tasted it and I said to the chief judge, that's not a Semillon, it's clearly a Chardonnay. And it was investigated and found that there was a slip-up out the back. So that sort of thing is possible. That's the first time I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And it was quickly amended and apologies were made and it was all fine. Had I not recognised that, it would have come up in the results that, you know, suddenly Chardonnay's won the best Semillon trophy. What's going on?
Wouldn't have looked good.
So it's very easy. There are checks and balances in place for that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, again, you've been very, very educational and entertaining at the same time for us. So thank you for your time and your talent. And we look forward to talking to you again in a month or so.
Look forward to it, Graham. Have some great wines in the meantime.
Will do.
Enjoy a cooler month down there. It's still warm in Brisbane. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, Tyson.